It's all here.
A no-hitter, grand slam.
Have all the fun you want.
Every moment, every game.
Make sure you guys tune in.
Catch the White Sox only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hey, everybody, it's Chuck Arfine. Welcome to the White Sox Talk Podcast, coming to you as always by our friends at Wintrust. Okay, the month of May has flipped over to June. The White Sox have been all alone in first place for almost 4 weeks. And I just want to say this. The White Sox are freaking good. Really freaking good. Now, the goal is to be really freaking great and win the World Series. But right now, we are 2 months into the season, and this White Sox team is really freaking good. Is everything going great? No. Have there been some tough losses? Yes. But have there been big wins? Are guys having big seasons? Are they playing hard and pulling from the same rope? Yes and yes and yes and yes. So here on the podcast, Ryan McGuffey and I are going to talk about who the White Sox are right now and what they can become as the season progresses. White Sox are good. They're really freaking good. It's been a lot of fun, and a lot more fun should be coming. White Sox Talk Podcast, that is coming your way.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With White Sox checking, you'll score a Sox debit card. Plus, you'll get a special offer when you open online today at Wintrust.com/SoxTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left
field! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Okay, Ryan McGuffey, June has arrived. The White Sox are in first place. In fact, they have been alone in first place since May 7th. How good are the White Sox?
They're really, really good. And quite frankly, I'll go with Ozzie's assessment of the White Sox. I have yet to see them play a team where I feel like, yeah, that team is better than the White Sox. And Ozzie says it all the time. And I think that's a really good way to kind of measure them up. Like, that's the measuring stick. It's like every time they play a team in a series or something, did the best team win the series? And if it's – I mean, obviously the Sox have won a lot of series, but I think – they are right now today. I would love to see. Certainly the AL East is really good. Like Tampa Bay, what they're doing right now is just out of control. You know, we saw this the three game sweep against the Yankees, but I tweeted this earlier on Monday that after that sweep, it's two teams going in two different directions. You know, the White Sox got swept and took off, and the Yankees swept the White Sox and have slumped since. So that's baseball. But look, this team, the pitching, that's the engine. And the engine's a really good engine in this car. And I don't see any signs of that engine slowing down.
Yeah, I would say this is the starting rotation is a Porsche. Okay. We could say, well, who's driving the Porsche? Uh-oh. but I'm not going to go there yet. I mean... that goes into all sorts of different conversations that I'm not willing to have, but let's talk about the rotation. They're the best in the American League. Okay. So this is really what it comes down to is this. There's two, this is a two-phased season in my eyes. win the division. So it's how they do against the other teams in their division. And then playoffs begin. How do they stack up with everybody else? What can they do in the playoffs? Now, those are conversations we can have later. I mean, I do have some concerns, like, are they as good as in the end? Will they be as good as the Astros, the Jays, the Rays? These are things that I'm wondering down the road. But it's June. Where are they in the division? How do they stack up against the competition in their division? Goff, if this team doesn't win the division, it's a colossal failure. That's what I look at right now, because that would mean that either the Indians, and I don't think it'll be the Indians, I would believe that the Twins would get really hot, and over, and that would mean the White Sox would have to just fall on their butts. And I don't see that kind of setback happening for this team just because of their starting rotation. If this was just a great offense that can go cold, yeah, they can go into a big tailspin and have a big losing streak. But with this starting pitching, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, look, I don't think the Twins are going to get hot. I know you've been worried about the Twins for a while.
They've already started to get a little hot.
Yeah, and guess what? How many games have they picked up?
Yeah,
they've
lost.
They've lost ground. They got hot, and that's
there's
what
a lot of baseball left. But I know that. Guff. But I know what you're going to say, or I think I know what you're going to say, or maybe I'm just adding to it. If they don't get hot enough soon, they'll start trading guys away, and then it's white flag for the rest of the season.
Correct, and that's going to be the real interesting June. I thought May was going to be such an important month, and I guess the months that you're playing are the most important at the time. Like that's Tony La Russa, right? Win today, don't worry about tomorrow until tomorrow. Win the month, and if the White Sox win June, you know, even if they lose a couple of games,
I shouldn't say it's
to
over.
The Twins.
There's nothing over.
If they get to July, if we're doing this podcast July 1 and the Twins are 7 games back, you know, the Twins still have a real hard look in the mirror. And what the White Sox have...
I don't think so. 7 back on July 1st, you can make that up.
All right. Well, this is about the White Sox. I could care less about the Twins. They have their own issues. So I don't see the White Sox slowing down. And here's what we know. Like, we're talking about other teams. You know, you talked about the Blue Jays and the Rays and stuff. I mean, the deadline will kind of dictate what teams those are going to be.
Yeah.
And certainly the White Sox getting a report on where Eloy Jimenez is going to fit into the mix. And then shortly after that, if Luis Robert's going to fit into the mix, you know, if let's just say for argument's sake, one of those guys comes back, not both, but one, then you're talking about the White Sox making a major acquisition at the trade deadline without even having to move any parts. So to know that a bat could be coming, okay, and know that the pitching, I don't really see, like, even if somebody has a few blips, you know, you're going to have a couple of bad starts along the way. Some guys are, that's baseball, that's life. But this rotation is so stacked and so balanced because of the guys we talked about at the beginning of the season, Dylan Cease and Carlos Rodon. The biggest two question marks the first 2 months of the season have been answered. And it's that back into the rotation. It has made every fifth day a living hell for the opposition. And even when you guys, like, look at the spare parts, look at the guys waiting to break through. Kopech has come through and had a breakout year. You have Jimmy Lambert making spot starts and looking good. Like, you have the White Sox are so deep in their starting rotation. Their bullpen is certainly, there are pieces of the bullpen that there are still going to be question marks about. The timely, you know, they've struggled with runners in scoring position, but I love this, like, next man
really
up philosophy that they have.
They really don't.
I know. They struggle.
People freak out when there are games when the White Sox struggle with runners in scoring position. It happens everywhere. And if you look up their numbers, their batting average with running scoring position, it's near the top in baseball. We just think, like, oh my God, this is a calamity with the White Sox. It's every team. It's tough to convert with runners in scoring position.
What I like about them yeah. is that, you know, a lot of guys have stepped up in opportune times when you least expected it, whether it's Billy Hamilton or Leury García or Zach Collins or Jake Lamb. Like, all of these guys that people have moaned and groaned about all year have had big at bats on the biggest stages at the biggest times. And now this is we were talking about this in the office the other day. You look at some of these guys, you know, we're talking about who this conversation 3 weeks ago, Chuck, that we were having about, well, who's going to be gone when Adam Engel returns. And it was easy. There was like five guys you could make pick, not five, but two or three. It's a real question right now. Like when Adam Engel returns, who is the odd man out? And people are going to, they may just run and jump to Jake Lamb. Do you know what Jake Lamb's OPS plus was entering Memorial Day? His OPS plus. I'm blindsiding you with this.
No,
so what
no,
do you,
no,
give me a
stat. I saw that. I saw that. It was, shoot. I saw that today. I was like, wow. Okay. Jake Lamb. It was impressive. Like 140 or something.
138.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even the guys who, like Jake Lamb's had the fewest opportunity. You know, I was infuriated by watching Billy Hamilton at bat for a month. He couldn't get a hit. And now the guy is like a cult icon within the 26 man. So I just think that they have that thing starting to go now too. That's just outside of the rotation. The rotation's really good and it's carried them, but they have that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like finding ways to win in places that they normally don't, and having guys step up and do things that they normally don't. And we're only talking about the June 1st here. So I just think that stuff kind of, that momentum does carry throughout a season.
Well, what I was going to bring up to you, and you were answering it a little bit, but here's the question. I'm not even going to ask you the question. I'm going to state it because I know the answer. I believe that the bench has saved the White Sox season.
I agree with you.
They have come up in big moments, won games for them, where if you had a very mediocre bench and they weren't converting in these moments in these games, the White Sox right now are neck and neck with the Indians. They are maybe even, I don't want to say they're in second place, but things are a lot tighter. But Billy Hamilton, Jake Lamb, Danny Mendick. And you know what? I'm going to put this guy in there for a reserve, for a bench player, because that's who he was. You mean Mercedes? Mercedes wasn't supposed to play this much. He was a bench player.
That's a great call.
So this White Sox bench has saved the White Sox season so far. That's what I believe.
And add the guys that I threw on there too. Right?
Yeah,
Zach
yeah,
Collins.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, Cedric, Chuck, you're
not
right.
Just that. And he's okay. So Zach Collins, when he's okay. So say he's not doing that well as a hitter. Fine.
Look what he's doing behind the plate.
He caught Carlos Rodon's no hitter. He's been a great catcher.
He's caught the bulk of Carlos Rodon. He's caught some of Giolito's best starts.
Yep.
He caught Giolito's start Sunday against the Orioles when he struck out at a dozen and went 7-8. I mean, he's been a huge part of this team, and it always is not going to show up in the back of a box score. Like your guy's hitting 315, you know, with 40 bombs and 100 RBI. Like there's a lot of other ways to contribute. And I agree with you. The bench has saved him. Here's the question though. The bench has saved the first 2 months and they've relied on them a lot because a lot of those guys have taken on roles that they weren't supposed to. You mentioned your mean. Is that sustainable?
Probably you can't. I'll say this. Mercedes from April is not sustainable. Billy Hamilton's hot right now. That probably won't be sustainable, but they have found answers from within. And, you know, Adam Engel will be here. He'll be an answer at some point. They might have to go back to the minor leagues. Who knows? Maybe Gavin Sheets will be an answer at some point. There's going to be some guys we're not even expecting who are going to fill the void, but they've been getting it done. Couple things. Because I just wanted to get this in the podcast. Number one, you know who's been a silent assassin for the White Sox? Their best player.
Who?
Not their best player. One of their best players. Yoan Moncada. Silent assassin. Here's a guy who has an OBP over 400, but hasn't gotten hot yet, right? He gets on base, you know, had a big, you know, home run the other day, gets, you know, is playing very well, very well. Okay, Yoan Moncada very well is an above average hitter, and yet in that body of his, is a guy who's just going to go off at some point, and it hasn't happened yet. And the Sox are in first place. How about that?
Well, here, everybody likes to talk about Moncada's 2019 season, right?
Yeah.
Where he hit 315. I think he was fourth in the American League in hitting, had an OPS above 915 or something. His OPS plus right now at June 1st is higher than his OPS plus was at the end of that season when he looked like the guy everybody was talking about. So that's to your point, is it doesn't feel like Yoan Moncada has taken off yet. You know, every single game he's doing sometimes the little things, and you don't look up and necessarily acknowledge the times where Yoan Moncada goes 2 for 4 with 2 singles and plays a really solid third base. It's just become old habit now. He has really thrived here. He's one of the, there's two guys basically that have been left alone in the batting order, not counting TA, but TA's had injuries, and that's Moncada hitting 3 and Abreu hitting 4. When he flip-flopped those guys early in the year, he's literally just kind of set it and forget it. And Moncada has really thrived in that role. And Abreu obviously just continues to be an RBI machine, the best in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to get this in the show or in the podcast just because I want to say it, although it's difficult to say it. All right. So Lance Lynn in May, 5-0 with a 1.64 ERA. He strikes out Cedric Mullins. And what did he say? This should be, if I, next time I do fantasy baseball, this is the name of my fantasy baseball team. You know what he said, right? But how do I say
dirtbag, it? Dirtbag, right? Something dirtbag?
No. He said,
Bleeping
slap, D-S-E-K, mother bleeper.
Yeah.
Can I just say it on the podcast or no?
It's a puck. Yeah, Chuck. No FCC.
Fucking slapdick motherfucker.
Yeah. That's a t-shirt you only can wear at your house. Lance Lynn's house.
Lance Lynn, you're awesome. I mean, I don't even know what that even means.
Well,
fucking slapdick motherfucker.
Lance Lynn doesn't lack passion.
No, I love
and
that.
And he is an absolute stud.
Yeah, he is.
You want to talk about saving seasons? That guy has been better than advertised, and he was advertised as really, really good.
I mean, Rodon's been unhittable. Cease has been amazing. I love Keuchel and Giolito. My favorite starter on at Kopech. I love my favorite starter is Lance Lynn.
Totally agree with you. I agree with you.
Oh, and by the way, when we say OPS plus, for those who don't know what that means, if you are 100, if you have a 100 OPS, that is league average. So if you're above 100, you're an above average major league player. And if it's like 140, 150, 160 and up, it's great. If you are below 100, okay, obviously you are a below average major league player. At least you're hitting that way. So I want to let you know that. Okay, so the White Sox have 40 games. They're playing right now 40 games in 41 days. This is from May 11th to June 20th. It's a rough stretch of just game after game after game with doubleheaders in there. So that is something that I've been watching. I'm also watching this Indians team. Do you know they've played one of the easiest schedules in baseball?
It doesn't surprise me because every time I look at their lineup when the White Sox play them, I shake my head and go, how?
Well, they've played.
I'm not kidding about that, Chuck. How?
No. Well, there's a few of those lineups in baseball. Like, I'm like, how? They have Franmil Reyes is out. Zach Plesac is out. Here's the thing with them. This is why
Jordan
Luplow's out. This is a Jose Ramirez or bust season for them. They are relying so heavily on Ramirez. If he struggles or gets hurt, what are they doing? I'm waiting for them at some point and some point soon to go in a tailspin because it hasn't happened yet. It is bound to happen. I don't know when, but that's common for the Indians at some point. And then, when that happens,
they're well coached. They're well coached.
This team should have in them losing 9 out of 10, 9 out of 12. That's what I think.
Yeah, but they also have in them winning 9 out of 10. So I don't know.
I don't know. Look at their offense. My God, they're terrible.
Yeah. Your Twins are my Indians. Like, is that right? Did I say that right? Like, the Indians, I go into a panic. My heartbeat's always up. I expect the worst. I try to think positive. They're just, especially in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, and as we tape this, I don't want to, we're taping this and Jose Ramirez just hit a 2-run homer. So like I we're talking about like our living nightmare happening in front of us. We're not sleeping and it's happening in front of us. It's hard not to react to what the Indians are always doing. It's just infuriating.
You know what's infuriating? You're about 20 seconds in front of me and I haven't seen Jose Ramirez hit this home run yet. So,
well, maybe what I saw was the nightmare, but this is what it's like, Chuck, when we're normally at the office. We're always ahead of everybody.
Yeah, it must be on this pitch coming here. Let me just, I'm going to experience this. No, it still hasn't happened. Okay. I'm living in a different time zone, apparently. Okay. Maybe I'm watching a game from 2018 and it hasn't happened yet. And I don't even realize it. The Twins, you know, can they be the 2019 Nationals that went 19-31 and won the World Series? I say no, because they don't have the pitching. You need pitching to do that, right?
They don't have a lot of it. They don't have a lot of things. And they pitching is one. I mean, keep in mind, you know, you say pitching, Chuck, that Nationals team had Scherzer, Strasburg. I mean, who, like, Maeda is, you know, no offense to Kenta Maeda, but he is no Steven Strasburg or Max Scherzer, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, the Nationals were a really good team that got off to a bad start. I think the Twins are a really decent team. They got off to a bad start and they may not just be like, it might just be a bad team. And that happens occasionally. They might just be a bad team.
I would love that. Well, so the White Sox have 16 more games with the Tigers. They've only played them 3 times. The Indians have played the Tigers 10 times.
Tigers are better than, they're sneaky.
Yeah, but that like lineup, look at that lineup.
I know, but they just swept the Yankees too. So, I mean, yeah. Like, look, if they're playing 16 times, like, let's just say they should be 11-5. I mean, seriously, you know, like they should be 6 games over 500 minimum. So, yeah.
All right. I've got a guy who I think the White Sox. What's that?
The Indians have played him 10 times, you said?
Yeah. Sox have played him 3 times as we tape this. Okay. I've got a name. I know I did a podcast. We were looking at Chris Bryant just to see, like, you know, this was Anthony Kanstrovince, who believes the Sox are the best fit for him. Personally, I don't see it happening. So what's the realistic fit for the White Sox for their outfield? Because they need an outfielder. I got the guy. I've brought him up on a previous podcast. But as I'm looking at the landscape of who the White Sox need and who might be available and what kind of trade they can pull off, I'm liking Starling Marte more and more, who is basically, Marte is basically a 32-year-old version of Luis Robert. Plays center field. He's now off the injured list, so he's back playing for the Marlins. Marlins are a few games under 500, and his contract's up at the end of this season. He's making about $12 million. So it's a lot cheaper than Chris Bryant. And I could see the Marlins making a trade with the White Sox. That's, in my opinion, a lot of it depends on when they're going to get Robert and Jimenez back. I just feel like they've gotten this far without him. Can they continue to get this far without getting a ton of production from their outfield? I know they're going to get Engel back, but Marte would be a big boost for this White Sox team. So that's my guy.
Yeah, and to that, even if they're getting those guys back, let's just say realistically, August 1st would be like the dream scenario, and I don't even know if that's the scenario. So you acquire a Marte, it's insured. Look, all you have to ask yourself is this. Starling Marte an upgrade over what any of the things that they're putting out there currently. And, you know, Jake Lamb, yes. Billy Hamilton has a – I'm not saying all these guys are going to be just DFA tomorrow. I think Billy Hamilton's on the team.
Oh, yeah. But Billy Hamilton is not a – you start him every –
Yeah. Like
week, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, and he comes in off the bench late. I mean, Andrew Vaughn. And the other thing is you need insurance for your main Mercedes. You need insurance in just case it just goes south to a point where you need to, you know, maybe move Andrew Vaughn there or maybe Starling Marte. Yes, I like Starling Marte. He makes a lot of sense for what you're doing in 2021 and not sacrificing the future of what you're trying to do in 2022 and trying to figure out where Marte plays because he won't need to because he'll be a free agent.
Yeah,
it's a good call.
You want Luis Robert. You may not get him, so get an older version of him.
And then the best case scenario is you get Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez back. And then you have Marte and Eaton and like this rotating, awesome problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, your mean Mercedes, maybe he's not DHing every day. It's tough to figure out who he's going to be in August and September. I don't know. I want him to be the guy he was in April. He wasn't red hot in May, but he was good enough to be the DH. I mean, especially compared to the DHs the Sox have had for the last 6 years, 5 years.
Oh God. Since Tomy?
Yeah. We've been getting a lot of really good production. So listen, moral of the story is this White Sox team is good. And I know there's been a lot of complaining about the losses, but what I try to tell people is even if your team wins 100 games, you're going to lose 62 times. There's going to be a lot of losses in a baseball season. So we are
We're two months in,
and the Sox are in first place and playing really good baseball despite, you know, questionable managing on certain days with Tony La Russa and Tony La Russa has made good managing, has had good games managing, so let's not just focus on the negative. And they've had a lot of injuries and setbacks, and, you know, Michael Kopech's been on the injured list, and here they are.
Yeah, I'd like Tony La Russa to kind of be where he's been the last 2 weeks, which is just doing his job and letting the team do theirs. And like that, to me, that's when the storyline is the players and not the manager. And that's when everything's really rolling. I'm not going to tell you as a Sox fan how you should live your life, but I will say there's way too much positive going on to be negative about the whole. And the whole right now is greater than the individual parts or a loss here or there. For them to turn around, you know, like I look at that St. Louis game. There was a lot of anger about that St. Louis game. They took two of three. Then they sweep Baltimore. You know, they've done to the teams what they're supposed to do to those bad teams. And you took two of three against the Cardinals, which is the first place team. So it's not always going to look pretty. They're going to have great wins that are just fun. And there's a lot of homers and a lot of runs and great pitching. And they're going to have sloppy losses because it's a 162 game season. Here's where you can be mad. Be mad if they don't win the AL Central. You know, you want to break down every inning of a game. Save that for late in the year when the spotlight is truly, truly on. What they're doing right now is exactly what you would want the White Sox to be doing. And that's taking care of business in the division and taking care of business against teams that they should be taking care of business against. And they're going to have speed bumps. And like they're going to get swept and they're going to have a stretch where they lose 4 out of 5. Like the good teams, and Chuck, you know this, we've covered them a long time. They find a way to overcome those speed bumps. And Look at the White Sox, what they did after the Yankee series.
Yeah. The next stretch that I want to see is June 8th until June 20th. Blue Jays are in there and the Rays. Those are all home games. And then they go to Houston for four. Like, what's up with that? You know, you rarely get the four game series. Like the Sox got, you know what though? That's come to think of it. It balances out. The Sox got the Orioles at home for four. So, okay. You can go to Houston and play them four times, I guess.
Yeah. And here's the other thing I'm going to say. I've noticed watching baseball a lot over Memorial Day weekend, like one of the difference makers, and you've heard different teams throughout baseball talk about this, has been the fans returning. There's more fans, some fans that, you know, we're at 60% here in Chicago, and that's only going to increase. Players are starting to talk about it. They're noticing. So go back. I haven't been – like I tried to go to a game earlier this year, Chuck, you know, and it got rained out after I walked in the door. I mean, I haven't been back yet. I still can't wait for that first feeling and stuff. So, I mean, go to the game. And Chuck just gave you two great series. The Blue Jays, hey, you want to start measuring October? Look at the Blue Jays and the Rays. Like, that's like, don't be afraid to talk about October as Sox fans, because the Sox sure as hell aren't. Tony La Russa talks about it every other day. The players talk about it all the time. They've been talking about it since January. Talk about October. Start looking where the White Sox line up, who you want where, what your starting rotation looks like. Yes, there's a lot of baseball to be played, but this team should be and will be playing baseball in October if things are going the way they should be going. And I'm with you, Chuck. the more I think about it, this division should be TCB, taking care of business and locked up by like mid-September. I just, even if one of these two teams between Cleveland and Minnesota get hot, I don't see the Royals. I just don't see enough from any one team to go, oh yeah, they're going to be able to put it together and ride this thing into a 90-win season. I don't see it.
Yeah. It's June, the start of June, but I'm thinking October right now. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, life is bueno, Chuck. Life is bueno, man. It's a different scenario June 1, 2021 than it was June 1, 2020. There's no doubt about that.
19 and 18 and 17 and 16, 15, 14 and 13. Yes. We haven't been able to be this positive in June in a long, 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 long time. So feel good about your White Sox and enjoy the games. The losses suck, but there's going to be a whole lot of winning. At least there should be. And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.